Good morning. I'm Charu Chitinidas presenting Hare Krishna morning program. Studio clock, it's a couple of minutes past 8 o'clock. As per Western calendar and Vaishnava calendar, today is 19th of July, Saturday, Chaturthi Tithi, Gauda Paksha, Pariga Nakshatra, Pariga Yoga, Purva Phalgani Nakshatra. Let us begin this morning with Krishna consciousness. Allow me to give you the upcoming festival in Melbourne. Hare Krishna temple begin with 5th August, Sri Jhulan Yatra, it's called Swing Festival. Every evening you have an opportunity to swing their Lord Sri Radha Krishna on their flower throne through 9th August, Wednesday, and 9th of August, Sri Valadev Purnima, the appearance day of Lord Balaram, the elder brother of Krishna. 16th August, Wednesday, Sri Janmashtami, the appearance day of Lord Krishna. Friends, there is unlimited power in the Lord's name which will remove all the impurities from our mind. Sankirtan Yajna remove the impurities of the mind. It will steady our mind and checks its tendency to fluctuate, and ultimately it tears the veil of ignorance too and brings us face to face with the Lord. At the beginning of Kali Yuga, sage Narada went to Lord Brahma and said, "O Lord, people of Kali will not be able to practice austerities, not to perform the yajnas, not to pursue the path of Veda. Kindly have mercy on them and tell me some easy way by which they can attain God." Lord Brahma, in his supreme sympathy and mercy, gave the Mahamantra by repeating which people of Kali Yuga will attain self-realization. Therefore, allow me to start today's program with Mahamantra, which is only a solution for all time.
Oh,
Hare Krishna. Dear friends, this radio program designed to help us go back to Godhead. Krishna consciousness movement designed to help all intellectual people to understand the truth of current problems. We are distributing free knowledge about how to return to our original abode. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, bestow His causeless mercy upon all living entities who are looking for eternal happiness. Let us begin today's journey to the path of absolute truth. This morning we'll hear from Radha Gopinath Prabhu about practical application of Bhagavad Gita. Today's topic is Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, should be center of our goal. Seminar recorded at Mumbai, India. After lecture, we'll hear devotional songs. Today I will play the drama of Gita Amrita. This morning we'll hear chapter 7. Reminding you, month of August is not too far and the whole month is full of festival. Therefore, this radio show will be little different. Do not miss the program to know in detail of every festivals and significant of each of them. Hope you will all enjoy with this program, which is an essence of understanding what Krishna consciousness is.
When God is not the center, individual is the center, then there is fight for every silly thing. Why? Because each one has a different interest. But if God is the master of the house and the caretaker of the house says, I am simply a servant, not only do I follow, but I want everyone to follow this. Because I'm not interested in myself. I'm interested that the Lord be pleased. So whatever He likes, I better like. Whatever He hates, we don't want here. That's what it means to make Krishna in the center of our household. And it's a fact. If God is made the center of a household, 10 people can live in a small room and there is place for the 11th fellow. Because there is love, and love means each one is sacrificing to accommodate the other for the pleasure of Krishna. But in a household where God is not the center, 2 people can live in a huge palace, but it will become too congested for them also. Either you stay or I stay. Both of us just cannot stay here. I can't look at your face early in the morning. Why? Because if there is no place for someone in your heart, there cannot be a place for such a person in your home. And if Krishna is the center of the household, the whole universe can live in and there is still place for other. It's a fact. You are traveling in a train. I have seen in local train, as I told you, so many lessons you can learn in local trains. 3 people are sitting, thin fellows. But one fellow comes and suddenly each one expands their feet in. But then their common friend comes and, oh, come, and suddenly space manifests. Why? The space was not there. Suddenly it manifested. Because there is a place for such a person in your heart. Therefore there is place on the seat. Even if it is not there, it will manifest. You will lift one leg and stand on one leg to allow that fellow to stand. But if there is no place for him in your heart, even one seat, you will lie down and see that fellow doesn't come. It's a fact. So this is what it means to make a home into a temple. It's not simply little puja early in the morning. It's actually a whole philosophy. This is what a temple should actually teach. How to make our home into a temple. How to make our heart into a temple. So we have discussed about how to make our home into a temple. So far, by chance, because of some tiredness, if you have not been able to hear something, no problem. But now what we are going to discuss is very, very important. If you miss this, you miss everything. And whatever we have discussed so far, if you are not able to follow the four regulative principles, right now your family environment is not so conducive that you can have an altar. You can't have the all worship going on. For any reason, it is not able to be done. All right, no problem. In due course, you may do it. But what we are going to discuss now is so important that any one of us who have a sincere heart can start practicing. And if you just do this, have faith, everything else that we have discussed so far will manifest in your household within some time. So, what we are discussing now, please listen a little extra carefully. And what we are discussing is sadhana. What is sadhana? Sadhana means activities which will help us re-spiritualize our life. Till now we are in the bodily conscious. We think we are the body and the extension of the body is mine. But to get away from the bodily concept of life and become fixed in the concept of soul and our connection with God, whatever activities are performed on a regular basis is called as sadhana. So sadhana are those activities which help us to re-spiritualize our lives. So what is the first thing? There are four things. A, B, C, D. I have made it very easy for you to remember. If you remember this A, B, C, D of sadhana, at the end when you walk out of this, if you forget all the 6 days, 6.5 days, no problem. If you remember these four things, A, B, C, D of sadhana, you have not lost anything. A means association of devotees. B is books or scriptures, scrutinizing regular study of scriptures. C is chanting of the holy name of Lord. And D is a diet, that is that of prasadam. If you do these four things, everything else will manifest in your life and your home. Don't worry. So let us discuss. Of course, of these four, you may say, right now, well, I have no time to associate, and books, oh ho, right now no time, and diet, I don't know, my wife or husband will agree to this or not. She will say, what is this, who is Krishna, why has he come here inside home? No problem. If A, B, D is not possible, please at least C is enough. If you are not able to do at least the four, one is enough, and that is C, chanting of the holy name. Because Krishna says, or the scriptures say, Harir Naam, Harir Naam, Harir Naam, Eva Kevalam, Kalav Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiranyatha. If you are not able to do anything else of these four, at least you can do one thing. And that is, every day, do any one of us ever forget to eat? We were so busy, I forgot to eat. For weeks together? Impossible. As important as food is to the body, in fact, more important than that is food for the soul every day. Because every time we go out, we are contaminated through our senses. So the first thing, just like we sweep our house, in a cultured home, morning and evening they sweep. Because every time, especially your house is near a main road, every time a vehicle goes, some dust collects. So to our contaminated heart, if we want to cleanse, the first and foremost thing is chanting of the holy name, which cleanses the heart of all contamination. Cheto darpanam arjanam. The mirror of the heart is cleansed and you can see things as they are. And therefore, the one and only thing is chanting of the holy name. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva Naste. There is no other way, no other way, no other way other than chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name. And ideally, the chanting should be done the first thing in the morning. If not possible, any part of the day, but ideally some fixed time. But slowly we should try to bring it to the first thing in the morning. Because early in the morning, just like if you travel in the roads are empty. So you can, early morning, very smooth. But once sun rises, traffic is there, and you get caught. So our mind is also like the traffic. The traffic of the mind, later part of the day, becomes too packed with so many thoughts. Early morning it's fresh. Therefore, chanting is most beneficial early in the morning. Ideally in the Brahma Muhurta. Brahma Muhurta means 1.5 hours before sunrise to the point of sunrise. Say sunrise at 6:30, so 5 to 6:30. It may vary season to season. But the idea is, of course, Bombay lifestyle is such, just before Brahma Muhurta, people go to sleep. And during Brahma Muhurta, they are fast asleep. So we have to slowly change our whole lifestyle. Of course, it may take some time. Doesn't matter. Even if you get up at 10 o'clock, that's your morning. Begin there. Ideally, try to freshen up. And the first thing in the morning, try to cleanse our... First you cleanse your body, and then you cleanse your mind. Ideally, if not, do any part of the day. But at least do. You can begin with one round. 108 names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra makes one round. And sincere devotees who want to advance, who want to become fixed up, they chant in our organization, in our association, anyone who is sincere, they chant 16 rounds. That means 16 rounds of 108 beads. That means approximately 1728 or something. That means 1.5 to 2 hours a day they spend to chant the holy name of the Lord. Right now it may be too much, but you take a vow, take a fixed number. Doesn't matter one round, two round. But make a commitment. If we commit to chant even fixed number, it doesn't matter even at least, but commitment, Krishna will take our devotion seriously. If it is done once in a week, then it's not so serious. Every day, without forgetting, we should, first thing, ideally first thing, or any time of the day that we are free, we can comfortably sit down and, you know, in a distracted fashion, chant. Chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is the Kali Shodashakam, Iti Shodashakam. This 16-worded name is so powerful that all the contamination of the heart can go away very quickly, simply by this process. And I can tell you why I was able to give up the other things. It's simply by this process of chanting of the holy name. Nothing else, if not anything else, just this chanting. So, I would put it at the topmost priority, chanting. But, if you do not understand what is this chanting, why we should chant, how we should chant, and how not, we have to understand through scriptures. Scriptures are books. Prabhupada said, books are the basis. Just like, if this building is strong, the building is as strong as the foundation. Suppose you have a 150-storied building, and you don't care to build the foundation. Who will see? You know, nobody sees, because nobody sees the building. I mean, the people see the building, who will go down and see whether the foundation is there? What happens? When winds come, the whole building will collapse. It will not be strong. So, if our devotion is based on fundamental philosophy of why we are doing what we are doing, if you don't understand, if someone says, why are you wasting your time? Then we say, ah, yeah, you are right. I don't know. I heard the 7-day Bhagavad Gita course, you know. Shouldn't I have heard? But when you scrutinizingly study the scriptures and understand why we should be doing what we are doing, that's the problem in India. When parents stress that their children do something and they ask why, keep quiet. Don't ask why. Your father did it, grandfather did it, great-grandfather did it, and you ask question? I never asked the question. Okay, I was also not asked. But the day you go out, that is the end of all these rituals. It is said, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You can't force something into someone's head. He has to understand why he is doing what he is doing. So, books are the basis of everything we think, everything we speak, everything we do. It should be Vedic scriptures. Veda means knowledge. So therefore, if you want to continue to chanting in a long term, till we become self-realized, or till we achieve the ultimate perfection is to actually chant the holy name constantly, we have to regularly and scrutinizingly study the scriptures. And even if you read the scriptures, even if you chant, there is a tendency that anything you do becomes mechanical after some time. Anything done repeatedly becomes mechanical. How to protect ourselves from things becoming very mechanical? That is by association of devotees. You may say, what is the need of association? I have already made my home into a temple. You may have made your home into a temple and you may worship. But there is a tendency that after some time everything becomes a ritual. Therefore, to protect our heart from any of these rituals, not simply remaining a ritual, but an act of true offering of love to the Lord, we have to associate with those people whose heart is filled with devotion. That is the purpose of a true temple, where devotees reside whose heart has full faith and devotion to the Lord. Just like a hospital is not famous for the structure. A hospital is famous as much as the doctors in it are good. If the doctor is useless, even though the structure is big, no one will be attracted. Similarly, a temple is a temple as long as the devotees who reside there maintain some purity of purpose and purity of heart. Therefore, one should regularly associate with advanced devotees whose faith and whose devotion is much higher. So therefore, just like if you regularly go out and use a battery, it gets discharged and you put it for charging, right? When it gets discharged, you put it for charging. Charging means there is a high potential. Similarly, our heart is like a battery. So, you may have charged this heart here for 7 days, constantly for 2 hours. And you feel, wow, it's right, what you're saying is correct, I should be doing it. And you go out, after 1 week, too many things. You know, what he said is right, but you know, let him do it. Not practical. Because someone else will say, because the whole negative energy is so much there outside, and you get sucked out. And therefore, if you don't come running to the association on a regular basis, if not every day, at least once a week.
Hare Krishna, you are listening to Hare Krishna morning program. Every week, 8 till 9 a.m. I present this program on behalf of Hare Krishna Ratmala. Our address is 197 Dank Street, Albert Park, contact 9699-5122. As Prabhu is saying that we have to associate with the devotees, we have to come to the level of devotional service. This is essential for a normal civilian. If you want to be practical, you have to do some activities as given in the scripture. So we had a false ego which stop us not come close to the Lord. That is a false ego. But in devotional life also have transcendental ego. One of the ego is called Abhiman. Let us listen Abhiman explaining by the singer, which is a mellow of devotional life.
Piya to rakhe sa abhiman, piya to Abhiman. सावन लाई करम बहार मथुरा से डोली लाए चारों कहार नहीं आए नहीं आए केसरिया बलमा हमार अंगना
Hoppers Crossing, Little River, Wyndham Vale, Point Cook, Seabrook, Tarnita and Laverton. Wherever you are, you're on 88.9 WinFM.
Hare Krishna, you're listening to Hare Krishna Morning Program. Dear friends, so far we heard, now the time for Bhagavad Gita, the drama. So far we heard about Bhagavad Gita chapter 1 to chapter 6. There might be few new listeners in our board. For them, briefly I will read Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is heading of those chapters. So far we heard Bhagavad Gita chapter 1, observing the armies on the battlefield of the Kurukshetra. Chapter 2 was content of the Gita summarized. 3 was Karma Yoga, then Transcendental Knowledge, and Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. Last week we heard Dhyana Yoga. This morning we'll hear Chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute. Lord Krishna saying to Arjuna, Jara Marana Mokshaya Mama Asrita Yatanti Ye Te Brahma Tad Vidhu Krishna Sinam Adhyatmam Karma Chakilam. Translation: intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. They are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities. I'll read Srila Prabhupada's purport. Birth, death, old age and diseases affect this material body but not the spiritual body. There is no birth, death, old age and disease for the spiritual body. So one who attains a spiritual body becomes one of the associate of the Supreme Personality Godhead and engages in eternal devotional service in the reality liberated Aham Brahmasmi. I am spirit. It is said that one should understand that he is Brahman, spirit soul. This Brahman conception of life is also in devotional service as described in this verse. The pure devotees are transcendentally situated on the Brahman platform and they know everything about transcendental activities. Four kinds of impure devotees who engage themselves in the transcendental service of the Lord achieve their respective goals, and by the grace of the Supreme Lord, when they are fully Krishna conscious, they actually enjoy spiritual association with the Supreme Lord. But those who are worshippers of demigods never reach the Supreme Lord in his supreme planet. Even the less intelligent Brahman realized person cannot reach the supreme planet of Krishna known as Goloka Vrindavan. Only person who perform activities in Krishna consciousness, Mama Asritya, are actually entitled to be called Brahman because they are actually endeavoring to reach the Krishna planet. Such persons have no misgiving about Krishna, but they are factually Brahman. Those who are engaged in worshipping the form or archa of that Lord, or who are engaged in meditation on the Lord simply for liberation from material bondage, also know by the grace of the Lord the purports of Brahman, Adi, Bhuta, etc., as explained by the Lord in the next chapter. Many subjects have been discussed in this chapter. The man is distressed, the inquisitive man, the man in want of material necessities, knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of Paramatma, liberation from birth, death and diseases, and worship of the Supreme Lord. However, he who is actually elevated in Krishna consciousness does not care for the different processes. He simply directly engages himself in activities of Krishna consciousness and therefore factually attains his constitutional position as an eternal servitor of Lord Krishna. In such a situation, he takes pleasure in hearing and glorifying the Supreme Lord in pure devotional service. He is convinced that by his doing so, all his objective will be fulfilled. This determined faith is called Dridha Vrata, and it is the beginning of Bhakti Yoga or transcendental loving service. That is the verdict of all scripture. The seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is the substance of that conviction. Friends, if anyone likes to know in details of Bhagavad Gita, he or she must read Bhagavad Gita as it is. Millions of copies distributed on this planet, and every year we are printing few millions as well. If you are looking for a real peace formula, must read this wonderful book. Let us listen to the drama of Gitamrita presented by His Grace Purnachandra Das.
You are about to hear the most important conversation that has ever taken place. It is a timeless conversation between the Supreme Lord, Krishna, and his devotee, Arjuna. Arjuna is a constant companion of Krishna, who perpetually travels with the Lord throughout the material world, playing a key role in an endless drama. That drama is for our sake, yours and mine. In it, Arjuna plays a warrior whose duty is to fight a battle to establish righteousness in the world. Just before the battle begins, Arjuna surveys the opposing troops, and seeing many of his own relatives and friends within their ranks, he becomes bewildered. Krishna, who is playing the role of Arjuna's chariot driver, convinces him to do his duty by revealing to him all the truths of the universe. Truths about the soul, karma, rebirth, liberation, and devotion. This drama is performed again and again, not only on this earth, but on other planets and other universes as well. In each performance, there are slight variations in the dialogue, but the theme remains unchanged. Listen now as the troops prepare for battle on the plains of Kurukshetra. Chapter 7. Knowledge of the Absolute. Hey Partha, now try to hear how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with your mind attached to me, you can know me completely, free from doubt. I will fully reveal to you this knowledge, both material and spiritual. Once you know this, there will be nothing further for you to know. Very few have this knowledge. Out of many thousands of men, only one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved it, only one knows me in truth. Now that I have your attention, I will tell you the eight types of material energies. They include earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. But besides these, Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mind. It is superior because of consciousness, and because it uses the material energy for its enjoyment. These are the living entities. Both of these energies come from me, and they cause everything else. Therefore, I am the cause of all. There is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me, as pearls are strung on a thread. Please hear how everything is strung upon me. I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, and the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether, and I am the ability in man. I am the original fragrance of the earth. I am the heat in fire, the life of all that lives. I am the penances of all ascetics. Know that I am the original seed of all existences, the intelligence of the intelligent, and the prowess of all powerful men. I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. Whatever you see, you should know, comes from me. There is no limit to this, for everything is under my control. Everything. Whether of goodness, passion, or ignorance comes from my energy. But I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature. Rather, they are under me. O Krishna, everything comes from you, but why are people unaware of this fact? Arjuna, because they are deluded by the three modes of material nature. Therefore, they do not know me, because I am above the modes. How can the living entities cross over these three modes of nature, Krishna? It is difficult, Arjuna, because this energy is divine and it belongs to me. It is like three ropes that are interwoven into one, which makes it very strong and very difficult to cut through. There is only one solution, but one must have faith in me and surrender. Then only can they cross over it easily. Krishna, you say that those who surrender can cross beyond bondage. Then why don't all intelligent people surrender to you? Arjuna, those who are foolish and proudly think themselves scholars are actually bewildered. They are like the blind leading the blind. They never surrender. Of these, there are four kinds. First is the mudha, who is like an animal, attached to the fruits of his work. He thinks that I am bound by karma like he is. He never takes time to hear about me, but prefers to hear mundane topics, which is like a hog eating stool. Second are the Naradama, who are socially and politically developed, but have no religious principles. They are born in a good family, but they become attached to mundane poetry and other subjects. Thus, they do not take to the goal of life. Next is a class called Mayapritagyana. They are mostly very learned fellows, but the illusory energy misguides them. They follow atheistic Sankhya and think that the creation is caused by material nature. They see that nature and not me as the controller, even though the Vedas clearly explain this. The last rascal takes shelter of the demoniac nature. He hates me and wants to kill me, like Jarasandha. All these rascals have some knowledge, but still they do not surrender to me. Hey Vasudev, who are the people that do surrender? Arjuna, there are also four kinds of men who begin to render devotional service to me. The first one is the distressed, who has had some calamity, sickness in the family, or some other problem, and who desires to get rid of it. Next is the one who wants wealth, opulence, or land. He wants pleasure in this world or in the next. The third type is the inquisitive one, and his object is self-realization, or Sanskrit grammar, or logic. These are men of discrimination, who are better than the previous two, but still they have desires. These three are called Sakam Bhaktas. They surrender, but have desires. The last kind is the Gyani, the one in knowledge. He knows that he is a spirit soul, that there is a super soul, and that he is part and parcel of the Supreme. He also has desires, but not material desires. Rather, he wants liberation. He is therefore called Nishkam. He performs bhakti to obtain liberation, but when he surrenders to me, it is out of love. Out of these four, who is the best, Krishna? Of these, the one who is in full knowledge, the Gyani, who is always engaged in pure devotional service, is the best, Arjuna. Why is that? Because he is always in union with me in one-pointed devotion. He has no distress or desire for money, so his meditation can be continuous. He is always absorbed in me and his attention does not stray to anything else. Although I am all-knowing, I cannot measure his love for me. All I can say is that he loves me very much, and thus I love him in return. Krishna, the Gyanis are attached to you and worship you out of fear of losing their knowledge, isn't it? No, Arjuna. Their main objective is devotion. Knowledge is secondary. Therefore, they are Gyanis in name only. They are not like the Gyanis who practice devotion for obtaining knowledge. Rather, this type of Gyani has great attraction for my beautiful blackish form. Those others who practice devotion for knowledge think that knowledge is higher than devotion. Therefore, they give up devotion when they attain liberation. It's obvious that the Gyani is dear to you, Krishna. But what about the other three? Are they not dear to you? Those who come to me and worship me to ask for something, I give it. So they are also dear to me, because out of love they have asked me for something that they need. But the Gyani is like my very self. He never asks nor desires anything, neither heaven nor liberation. Therefore, he is under my protection. The Gyani has rejected impersonal liberation and has made my beautiful form his destination. That is his resolve. As one cannot exist without one's own body or intelligence, so I cannot exist without him. You say that the Gyani obtains you, Krishna, but how long does he actually take to become a devotee? Such a Gyani surrenders to me and comes to bhakti after many births, knowing me as everything. Such a great soul is very rare. Krishna, I have understood that those with material desires, in distress, or who want money, achieve their goal by rendering service to you. However, some people have similar problems but surrender to demigods. What is their situation? Their knowledge is taken away, Arjuna, because they think that their problems cannot be satisfied by Vishnu. Such a person who may have a disease will think that it will quickly be destroyed if he worships the sun god, but it won't happen if he worships Vishnu. Therefore, Rita Jnana, their intelligence is stolen. They do this because they are controlled by their lower nature. And because I'm in their heart as the Supersoul, when they desire to worship some demigod, I make their faith steady so that they can devote themselves to that particular deity and make believe that their demigod is supreme. So whoever wants to worship demigods, I give them faith in that deity. I create that faith in them. The demigods are not capable of doing it. Then, by that faith, they worship the demigod and obtain their desired goal by my grace. By worshiping the deity, they get the result. Because the demigods are my body, I grant their particular desires, even though the worshiper does not know that I am doing it. The results of these foolish people are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planet of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet. Hey Krishna, you are doing a big injustice to these people. They do the same amount of effort in worshipping their deities as do your devotees in worshipping you. To your devotees, you give an unlimited result because they go to the spiritual world where there is no end of pleasure. But these other people's result is limited, so this is an injustice. They perform the same amount of effort, but the result is different. I am not doing any injustice, Arjuna. Devan Devaya Joyanti. They worship the demigods and they go to the demigods. And those who worship me come to me. Where is the injustice? It's just the rule. Those who worship demigods go to them. My worshippers come to me. When the demigods are themselves temporary and perishable, how can the result of their worship be permanent? Both the demigods and the results will be destroyed. Therefore, I say that the worshippers of these demigods are apamedhasa, less intelligent. But those who worship with the idea that these demigods are also expansions of me, then those results are not temporary. If they worship the demigods, understanding them as my bodily limbs, then they will come to the proper position. However, those who have no intelligence think that I am beyond nature, but have no form, and that my appearance in the house of Vasudev is an acceptance of a material form. They think that my appearance is illusory, not transcendental. Why do they think like this? They do not know that my form and pastimes are beyond the material nature and are all transcendental. Krishna, if you say that your form, qualities, and activities are eternal, why aren't they always seen by everyone? I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent Arjuna. For them I am covered by my yoga maya, and so the deluded world knows me not, who am unborn and infallible. But you should understand that neither external nor internal energy can cover my knowledge. Maya cannot cover its support. Although it covers them, it cannot cover me. Thus, I know everything, past, present, and future. I also know all living entities, but me no one knows. Since when have the living entities become bewildered, Krishna? Since the beginning of creation, all of the living entities are bewildered, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. As soon as birth takes place, one becomes entangled and entrapped. Because of this ignorance, one becomes bewildered and attached. Those who have excessive attachment or excessive aversion cannot become a devotee. Then how does anyone ever become a devotee, Krishna? It seems so difficult. Those persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life have come to the end of their sins by the merciful glance of great devotees. Such devotees wander the earth to give mercy to pious souls. Therefore, they get strong faith and then understand me in truth, and begin to render service to me with determination. I have explained how some devotees with material desires get those desires fulfilled and come to me. But there is another type of Sakam Bhakta, Arjuna. They are people who desire liberation from old age and death. They take shelter and worship my deity and are actually Brahman because they know everything about transcendental activities. After rendering service to me, they get to know me and become liberated. They do not attain devotion, though, for that is not their desire. However, those with full consciousness of me, who know me to be the governing principle of this material manifestation, of the demigods, and of all sacrifices, can understand and know me even at the time of death.
Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Hare Bol. Looking at the studio clock, it's nearly 9 o'clock. It is 9 o'clock. Next show on this station would be very well known in Saturday morning show called Fastlane and Invincible. Hope you all are enjoyed today's Hare Krishna morning program. I'm Charu Chaitanya Das from Hare Krishna Temple. Please accept our humble request and invitation. Every day we are open, specially inviting you for Saturday and Sunday's Melbourne famous Hare Krishna preface. Also reminding you, coming month, the whole August is full of festival. 5th August is Dulan Yatra. It will go until 9th of August. And 9th August is Baladev's Purnima. 16th August is Janmashtami. And after a couple of weeks, end of the August will be Radhashtami. Find your place in Hare Krishna Temple. Our address is 197 Dank Street, Albert Park. Contact 9999-5122. Don't hesitate to call me for any queries regarding today's program. Wishing you and your families very good weekend with spiritual progress. May Lord Krishna bless us all. and gives us appropriate guidance to find tranquility and bliss in our life. Looking forward to have your association again Saturday morning 8 o'clock. Until then, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This is your station, your voice, WinFM Community Radio, broadcasting on a frequency of 88.9 megahertz on the FM dial. We operate using a community broadcast license, and our studios are located on the Werribee campus of the Victoria University. Our information and request phone line is 9216